illegal, and they knew that he was going to pray. And so he prayed, and of course, then that's how he ended up in the lion's den. But sometimes they didn't make it. They decided it was wrong for them to preach in the name of Jesus here, and of course, then they're coming down after him. So let's read here real quickly again in Acts chapter 5, and let me see here. Let me begin reading in verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. They were hot with malice, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. And, of course, the common prison there wasn't air-conditioned with the TV set. All right? The common prison was usually underneath the floor of a public building, and the floor was mud, no bathrooms, so there was other stuff floating around in the mud, and it was filthy and vile, and that's where they put them. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life," this way of life, this not only habits of life, but this way that leads to life. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And this is the gospel of life. And now remember in verse 17 when it says the high priest rose up, that word rose up means to stand. It's the same word. They stood up against them. And so they stood up. Now they weren't there to be against the leadership. They were there standing for the Lord and the Word of God. Remember, and again, that's why I'm in this whole thing here is godly defiance. We're not here to stand against somebody. We're here to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, there are going to be some people who are against you. But that's their decision to be against you. I'm not against them. I want them to come to know Christ and get saved. On the way into church tonight, I've said this before, the radio on my car, even when I turn it off, every time I turn the car off and turn it back on, the radio comes on automatically. That's the way it's designed. I don't know. You spend that much for a car, you should be able to tell the thing with the radio on or not. But it comes on automatically. Anyway, of course, you know, I had it on, and I had listened to a little bit of conservative talk radio. So it was on a show, and there was and it was on a show, but they had somebody filling in for the normal guy tonight. And he said, so help me, he started talking about the fact that when you go to the polls now, we need to teach the people a lesson and vote against them. He says, sometimes we need to teach them a lesson and vote against them. I don't believe that. I believe you vote for what's right. You vote for truth. You stand for truth. You say, well, this guy's going to actually do the best job, but I don't like what he did, so I'm going to vote against him. I'm going to get this person. Well, what do you think you're going to get with this guy? You don't know what you're going to get with this guy. Maybe he's worse than this guy. You know what I mean? And so you got to be careful. And so there's an awful lot of Christians. And today, you know, I hate to say it, a lot of Christians are being stirred up by the conservative movement. Now, I'm a conservative. But I'm conservative because I try to be biblical. Now, I'm not conservative. I'm not biblical because I'm conservative. Overall, conservatives tend to go along with the Bible stands, but not always. And a lot of people are getting stirred up with all this. I'm not careful. They're getting hot and they're getting heated up. And before long, they're trying to return eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's not how we do it in Christianity. Now, you say you're just going to roll over, I'm going to walk over. No, you just stand. But we don't have to get into the same flesh, the same works of the flesh that the world's getting into. Now, should we know what's going on? Yes. When we did the thing for the town hall for the school board, I want everybody to know what was going on. I didn't stand here and say, we're going to get these awful so-and-so's out of office. No. In fact, to tell you the truth, I've heard more foul language from the conservative radio than I have heard in a long time. That's not godly. And yet most of them will profess to be Christians. That's not good. Now, the angel of the Lord said, verse 20, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. He didn't say, go there and show them that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests are all wrong. He didn't say, go win their hearts so they won't follow the Sadducees. No, he says, give them truth. Speak the word. Verse 21, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they found them not in the prison. They were already gone. They returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple, the chief priests, heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. So, well, in other words, they doubted. I mean, they kind of debated. They kind of had a discussion there. We can't let this out. We can't let people think they're getting away with this. Okay, verse 25. Then came one of them and saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing, same word, in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, not because they cared about the apostles, but says they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, that they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Let's pray, and we'll talk about godly defiance, and I guess this is what, part three? What was that on there? Part three, okay. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for these words. Lord, help us learn these principles. May we truly do things the way you want us to do so we can have your blessing and your power on that which we do. Lord, if we just the things that we're going to be talking about on Sunday, if we decide to do your will but do it our own way, we're not going to have your support. We're not going to have your power behind it. We're not going to have you going in front of us and clearing the way. And we're going to be out here all by ourselves and wonder why it's not working. And Lord, I really think that's what's going on in our nation right now. People are saying, why can't we get away with this? Why can't we seem to make any headway? Why can't we fix this issue? And Lord, I think it's because we're trying to fix it without you. No one's asking for repentance. No one's asking for us to get on our knees and pray for God to forgive us. And Lord, please keep. I ask for your mercy that you will continue to work in the hearts of our people, that we'll come to you in repentance, and that we'll see you do the great work that needs to be done. So Lord, we put it in your hands. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. All righty. So the last few weeks, we started out there. Number one, we had the people of the church are known to be different than others. There's a quiet strength in these Christians, and their actions verify their message. And it's not all talk. It's got walk in there. And so we are different. We're supposed to be different. We're not like the rest of the world, so don't get in the same trap of doing what they do. Then we had it when we get in here to number two. It says the townspeople had a difficult time arguing with the facts. Listen, don't argue with this and come up with this sly thing and think, well, that's clever and that's clever. Just work with the facts. Just work with the truths of the Word of God. God showed himself not to be a respecter of persons. All were healed, and everybody, God works in everybody's heart. He's working behind the scenes, whether we know it or not. And so the folks were willing to risk the rebuke of the religiously proud if they thought that God was really going to do something for them. So when the apostles went out and did what they're supposed to do, the crowd followed them, and even to the point where they were willing to get their family healed. Get their family healed. Number three, I think this is new, right? All right, number three. We can be persecuted by the religious for no good reason, except that we don't agree with them. Now, I'm saying the religious. That's what happened here. They were persecuted by the religious. I didn't say the Christians. I said the religious. Now, the fact is, we can be persecuted by all kinds of people. Those who are against the things of God are going to persecute us. And it doesn't have to be any for any reason other than we don't agree with them. We cannot, letter A, we can't expect everyone to like us and agree with us. And I say that because there's an awful lot of Christians, you say, well, there's a large crowd that don't agree with and they're telling me I'm wrong. So I guess I'm wrong, better just be quiet. I'm not looking for the respect and the backing of people. I'm looking for the respect and the support of God. But He's not going to support me unless I'm doing it His way. I'm following His truth. When I'm walking in the light, I'll be in the light. I'm walking with Him. And so just because, and you say, well, yeah, but it's an awful lot of people. None of them make a majority over God. You put them all together, they're not more powerful than God. Put them all together and they're still not omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent. But God is. And the fact is, you know, we will find Him when we seek Him with all our heart. And there's an awful lot of people who never really see God work in their life because they're less than all-hearted. Well, we'll try this. Well, maybe we'll try this. We never really gave it over to Him. We thought, well, we'll see this and see if we'll get any kind of result out of this. Which means you really never trusted Him. When I lead somebody to the Lord, one of the things I'm usually sitting down in the living room or something, and one of the things I always say is I'll grab a hold of the coffee table and I said, now suppose I say I trust this chair to hold me up. Well, I'm going to hang on to the coffee table just in case because I think I can catch myself. Do I really trust the chair? No. I'm willing to gamble on it, but I really don't trust it. Now, if the chair goes down, I go down. I am placing my trust in this chair. I'm not saying I'm totally at ease, maybe. There's a few chairs I've visited some folks' house. I wasn't real easy. I really wasn't at ease at it either. It's not the fact that I was totally at ease, but I trusted it completely. And I'm not saying you're totally at ease even trusting the God. You may still say, I don't know, but you give it to Him and you continue to obey Him and you continue to do what He asks you to do and you don't turn back. That's why you glory in your tribulations, because tribulations, patience, experience, hope. The hope came after I put my faith in Him, after I waited, bound myself to Him, and experience proved Him to be true because He always is. And I come out the other side, well, He can take care of it. Going to be all right. Letter B. Don't doubt the guidance and will of God just because the path of righteousness runs through the valley of the shadow of death in the presence of your enemies. Psalm 23 says that's what happens. He says, God, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Why? Right down through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm following the path of righteousness through the green pastures and the still waters, but it takes me through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't doubt the guidance of God when all of a sudden, listen, were the apostles doing what they were supposed to be doing? Yes. Did it get them in trouble with some people? Yes. That doesn't mean they were out of the will of God. In fact, God proved it was the will of God when He shows up at the prison and the angel of the Lord says, go back out there and do some more, guys. Being in prison was not a punishment. Being in prison was not supposed to be a discouragement. Being a prison and then getting out was basically an encouragement, teaching them that even though you may get opposition, some heavy opposition, stick with me, boys. I'm with you. I'm with you. Number one, letter B. Not everything in ministry is fun. Not everything in ministry is fun. I do think there's some people who think, well, you know, I've heard many preachers say this. I've heard some of them say, well, you know, when I became a preacher, I thought everybody's going to love me. You know why? Because they love their preacher. I mean, they loved their preacher. They were thankful for what he took the stand that he did. They were thankful that they learned the word of God, and they were so excited about it. God called them, and they wanted to be like their preacher. They loved their preacher, and they just figured everybody else loves the preacher. No. Everybody loves the teacher, right? The teacher loves the students. You love your kids, but that doesn't mean right now your kids are like you. Right? And so not everything in ministry is fun. And watch, this is the second time they have been thrown into prison. It may have crossed their minds, maybe God's not in this. Maybe God's not, I mean, we read this and we know the end of the story. But go through the story and try to put it in your mind that you don't know how it turns out. Stop the story and look at yourself in the middle of the common prison for the second time. The stench, it would have smelled like a septic tank. There would have been no place to really sit down except in the mud, in the muck, in the mire. It was dark. It was dingy. You know of people that never got out of there alive. And there you are. You don't know that the angel of the Lord's going to show up tonight and let you out. You don't know that. It's not going to happen. You know, I mean, some of you have had diagnoses of serious illness, and all you know at this point is you got it. You don't know what the outcome's going to be. You're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and all you have, as if it's not enough, is the Lord. Can you imagine? Well, as God is, if God were in this, wouldn't it be going smoother than this? I know people who have served the Lord in churches and they're having trouble. And they say, well, if God was in it, it could be going better than this. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. In fact, it may be going so well in the hearts of the people you're working with that the devil's trying to do everything he can to make you think it's not worth it, to get you to stop. Now, he doesn't have the power, because unless God gives it to him, he doesn't have the power to literally stop you from doing what you're doing. He does have influence. He can oppress us. He can scare us. He can make it look like it's so foolish to follow God that we will just up and stop and make the wrong choice. You know what was happening here for the apostles? They were becoming immune to the threats of the devil. How do you, becoming immune. You could take a vaccination or you could just get a little bit of it and then your body is ready for it. You know what happened here? First time, they had him overnight and then they let him go. Well, that was scary. And they went back and said, we're out, but pray that we have boldness. They didn't pray for the persecution to leave. They prayed for boldness. So they have boldness. And what's the boldness get them? In jail. But then the Lord shows up. He says, boys, you got a job to do. Going back out there and do the job. You know what those couple little bouts of the virus of fear were? They were being inoculated. So they were ready for when the bigger test comes. And they were going to come. For John, tradition says they were going to boil him in oil. And they said that for some crazy reason, he survived. And they didn't have double jeopardy there. Not on TV, but you know what I'm talking about, the legal issue of it. And they didn't know what to do with him, so they put him out on the Isle of Patmos. And what happened there? He got the victory. He wrote the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Nanner, nanner, nanner. You're going to put me out of here where I won't bother anybody. And now millions and millions and millions of people have read the book of the Revelation. Not everything in the ministry is fun. That doesn't mean God's not in it. Let her see. How can we tell if the resistance that we are experiencing is God telling us we're going the wrong direction or from the world and the devil trying to stop us? Let me say that again. How can we tell that? Because that's the next question. Well, how do you know if it was the devil trying to stop us or it was God trying to stop us? Well, I think one of the main ways of seeing that, first of all, if what you're doing goes along with the Word of God, okay, stick with it. Stick with it. But sometimes it's a little hard to tell what's going on there. And you've heard me do this before, but so I'll do it quickly. Number one, consult the spiritual checklist in Galatians 5. Consult the spiritual checklist in Galatians 5. Now, if you want to turn there with you real quick, I'm not going to go through this tediously, but I'm going to show you what it says. And you've heard me kind of say this before. I'm sorry, my grandson's in the hospital. Henry, and he's 3 years old. He's in the hospital in Cleveland again. And so it looks like he's going home. So I'm sorry. I wanted to find he was okay, but long thing. But anyway, so the spiritual checklist in Galatians 5. He says, verse 16. This I say then: walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if I'm walking in the Spirit, now how do you walk in the Spirit? All right. Watch this. Suppose I said he walks in the law of the land. How does someone walk in the law of the land? By obeying the laws, right? So how would I walk in the Spirit? By obeying the Spirit. Now the Spirit wrote the Word of God. So when the Spirit of God, if I do what the Spirit of God wants me to do, which, by the way, most of it is right here, then I'm walking in the right place. I'm doing, if what I'm doing, the Spirit of God would not endorse, then I'm not good. I'm in the wrong place. Now, if I'm walking with the Spirit, he says, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So while I'm obeying God, I'm not going to be disobeying God. You follow me? And so what he said, if he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Watch, verse 17. For the flesh lusts or desires or has different motives, different desires than the Spirit. The flesh has lusts against the Spirit. What it wants goes against what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit against the flesh. What the Spirit wants is not what the flesh wants. and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm not going to do the lust of the flesh. If I'm walking in the flesh, even I can say, well, I want to do that, but if I'm walking in the flesh, I'm not going to be able to do, well, I'm not going to be able to walk in the Spirit. I'm just going two different directions, and you can't do that. Now, watch me. Verse 18, but if ye be led, guided, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If I be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. In other words, I don't need a law telling me what to do. Why? Because by nature, the new Spirit of God will lead me to do that which is right. The Spirit is not going to tell, I don't need the law to tell me to be honest. Because if I'm born of the Spirit and the Spirit is working in me and I'm obeying the Spirit, I don't need another law telling me to be honest. I don't need a law telling me not to cheat on my wife. I don't need a law telling me not to covet what they have. I don't need a law telling me I have to go, I need to take one day and give it to the Lord. I don't need a law doing that. Because the Spirit, if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm going to do it by nature, if you will. Born again. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm going to do what is right. Now watch. Verse 19. Now, how do you know which one you don't? Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like that which I tell you before, as I've told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, how do you inherit the kingdom of God? By being born again. So people who are born again, that's what you just saw should not be part of their normal way of life. Because they're born again. But, watch this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, and they that are Christ's, or saved, have crucified the flesh. The flesh is dead to them, with the affections and the lust. The flesh is dead to me, and all that the flesh wants, you know, again, we fall from day to day, and then we're not perfect. I understand that. But in general, we don't want what the flesh wants. If we live in the Spirit, well, then let us walk in the Spirit. If we really are alive or really born again, let's not listen to the flesh, let's listen to the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We shouldn't be in all that mess. Now, if you go back to where we were before, and we have this, it says, now when the high priest and the captain of the temple, the chief priest, back in Acts chapter 5, 24, and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted them and whereunto this would grow. When came one and so forth, verse 26, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And to see, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Behold, ye have filled the Jerusalem with your doctrine. Watch this. It says, let me go here. Acts 5:40. At the end of this conversation, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, they've called them back over, and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, earlier they talked about how they threatened them, this and that thing. Now, tell me, which category are the actions of the priests and the Sadducees? The fruit of the Spirit or the work of the flesh? So the work of the flesh is what's fighting us. They weren't fighting us in the Spirit. They were fighting us in the flesh. This is going to sound crazy, but when somebody really goes off the deep end and they just get angry and vicious and so forth and so on, I hate to say it, it relieves me because I know where they're coming from. They're not coming from God. They're coming from Satan. If God wants to teach me some things, I'm willing to listen. He knows that. But if they're trying to stop me, and it's Satan trying to stop me, then I know that that's not God trying to stop me. So what do? Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. So number two, if the opposition is coming from the context of the fruit of the Spirit, it's most likely the Lord trying to stop us. What do we mean? And I've used this example before, and I'll do it again. And I'm going to embarrass him, but I'm going to do it anyway. If Mr. Jimmy Smith came to me and said, "Pastor, I think there's something you ought to probably reconsider. I've been praying about this, and I think there's some things that maybe aren't quite square here, and I think we ought to reconsider these things. So let's wait and pray on this and come back and make the decision later." Now, is that the fruit of the Spirit or the work of the flesh? Fruit of the Spirit. So the Lord is telling me there's some things I need to reconsider. Now, someone came to me and said, "Preacher, if you do that, so help me, we will drag your name through the mud all over this town. You won't be able to preach in a church between here and Timbuktu." Then I know what I'm going to do. Not out of vengeance, not out of spite. But at this point, I'm going to stay where I am because I just know where that came from. That came out of hell, not out of heaven. You see what I'm saying? And so when you see, it may be a person, it might be a government. It could be all kinds of things. I think, and overall, you could pretty well say, now we know where it came from. So we should wait and see if the fruit is real. If the fruit appears to be real, you had better seriously consider what that person is saying if it's coming to fruit of the Spirit. Now, if the opposition is coming in the context of the works of the flesh, then you could probably assume that the opposition is not of God, but is of the world and the devil, and is fighting you. And the world is fighting us, then there's a good chance we're on the right track. And they're running scared. So they're going to try to scare us. The Bible says in Luke 6:22, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did they the fathers of the false prophets." If all the world thinks you're a great guy and you're doing exactly what you're doing, you better rethink what you're doing. James 4:4 says, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" You say, "But these are religious folks." So, compare them to the spiritual checklist. "And by their fruits ye shall know them." In fact, Jesus said that about the Pharisees specifically. "By their fruits ye shall know them." So if folks with a consistent godly track record is opposing you, let me say it again. You got some folks with a consistent godly track record, and they're opposing you, you should really consider what they're saying and what you're doing. I mean, very seriously, reconsider what it is that you're doing. Either way, honestly, without allowing your deceitful heart to lie to you, compare what you're attempting to do to the Word of God and see if the Lord is for it or against it, if you can. Number four, verse 19 says, go back to chapter 5, verse 19, "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak at the temple to the people all the words of this life." Number four, do right and allow God to do his part. Do right and allow God to do his part. Well, I don't know what he's going to do. I'll guarantee you they were not expecting the angel of the Lord to show up that night. They didn't say, all's going to be all right, because the angel's going, the Lord's going to show up here, and, oh, about 10 o'clock, we'll be out of here by 11, and we'll be back on the street by 6 o'clock in the morning, a little time to catch a little R&R, and a little sleep, and a few Z's, and everything will be fine. They didn't know that. And you don't know what God's going to do. But I do know what we should be doing, and that is what God wants us to do right. If God wants us out, he will get us out. We look at this passage and we seek an escape from persecution. We're worried about hanging on to this world and the convenience of this world. Notice they didn't even, maybe they did, but they didn't even, God didn't even mention that they prayed for a deliverance. You know, when Paul and Silas were in jail, you know what it says they did? They sang praises. It's almost like, I don't know what God's going to do, but here we go. It's going to be good. As my wife says, it's going to be interesting. Let's see what he's going to do. What was their perspective on this? What was it? Well, look at verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They weren't thinking about the persecution. They weren't thinking about this problem or that problem. They were saying, God's going to take care of that. We're such a threat. They were after us. They came after us. Us. As if we're somebody. We're nobody. But they came after us. Apparently, you know, we're getting more done than we know we're getting done. We're a bigger threat to the devil than we know. We look at the circumstances, we see the physical inconveniences. They had eternal perspective and saw the greater good for the eternal kingdom. Letter E. God was creating a greater impact by showing the world who and what these folks really are by applying heat and pressure to them. Let me say that again. The people saw who they were. And the world were able to see who they were. Watch. Verse 42. It says, and daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of chapter 6. And in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied. All right, we'll get to the next thing there. It's a whole different ballgame there. But it was multiplied. In other words, them getting in trouble with the law, if you will, didn't stop anybody. In fact, it probably brought more attention to them, and they had a bigger platform. God was creating a greater impact by showing the world who these people were. God put heat on them and pressure on them. And why should we fold under the heat and the pressure? As if God is gone. God's not gone. The real person behind the label of Christian comes out when they are tried and tested. Let me say that again. The real person behind the label of Christian comes out when they are tried and tested. When the squeeze is put on you, what comes out is actually what's in you. If you start attacking back because you've been attacked, then you got the same thing in you as your attackers. If you stop when the pressure and the heat's on, hang on, and you're kind of a loser, even though we thought we were okay. There's times where he says your faith was weak. You weren't strong. But it's really not great faith. It's simply faith enough to make the action. The people saw these Christians were real by seeing what they were willing to go through. You know, we can only fake spirituality for so long and for so and so far before the real us comes out. I hate to say it, I've heard a lot of Christians say, well, he just kept wearing me down. He just kept wearing me down. And maybe, and you know, we're not perfect. And maybe he got down to the bottom and he was kicking, and but what came out of you was still you. So they made me do it. Nope, they didn't. They didn't make you do anything. Well, they were going to throw me in jail if I didn't. Well, they threw them in jail, and they did. We have a decision. We have a choice. And I'll be honest with you, we had better be ready to make some choices here. Because I really think it's coming upon us in a hurry. And you're going to have a lot of us are going to have to draw a line and make a choice. Are we going to stand in line on the line with the Lord, or whether we're going to back off and that the pressure is going to push us back over with everybody else and we're going to let down? I don't know what the consequences may be. But the consequences shouldn't make any difference. Number 5, verse 20. Go stand and speak at the temple to the people all the words of this life. The Lord's will was for them to go right back out and preach again in the same place. The Lord's will was for them to go right back out and preach at the same place. They were not to be concerned with the persecution. They were supposed to keep giving out the wonderful words of life. They weren't sticking out their tongues at the authorities, but they were also not going to just roll over and play dead either. When the authorities showed up and they're preaching, they didn't go, na-na-na-na-na, look what the Lord did to us. They didn't do that. They were preaching. Now, they escorted them back. But they just did what they were supposed to do. Letter B. Sometimes God delivers us out of the prison. Watch. And sometimes he allows us to be held. Sometimes God delivers us out of the prison. Sometimes he allows us to be held. Neither one is neither right or wrong. It just depends on what God is trying to do and what will make the greatest impact. By the way, on others. See, you know, we look at this. We look at all this and we think about what I'm going through. What about me? Well, what about me? Well, why were they out there? They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ for everybody else's sake. I'm sure they weren't perfect. I'm sure things went through their mind. But God said, go out and preach the gospel. Go out and give out the word of God. And so they did. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was held in a prison in Rome for an extended period. Paul was held in prison for an extended period. Was God weak because he didn't get Paul out? Was God failing? Was God distracted? No. Paul needed some time to finish the writings and win many of Caesar's household to Christ. In Philippians 4:22, Paul writes from the prison in Rome and says, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Paul has apparently led many of Caesar's household to Christ. Now, I'll guarantee you, if he wasn't being locked up there, he wouldn't have a chance to even run cross paths with these people. And he's winning heaven. I mean, can you imagine? He's leading these people to the Lord. Number six, get back up. Get back up. They didn't argue or question the revealed God, the word of God. They just got up and did it. But God, we're in prison. We can't go back there now. We'll just make them even more angry. We'll end up in prison again. What good are we in prison? Don't make us go back out there, God. This is stupid. What are we going to do? What in the world would we say? But not these people. They went out first thing in the morning and began teaching again. And meantime, the council and the Senate and all the bigwigs in town are getting together to see what they can do with these troublemakers. Number seven, God can still do the impossible. God can still do the impossible. If God wants to deliver you, God can deliver you, and nothing can stop him. So remember, if God did not deliver you out of the persecution, apparently the Lord has a bigger plan, and you're supposed to stay there at least for a while. Verse 24. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. It is amazing how blind, there's your word, sin can make us. It's amazing how blind sin can make us. Instead of wondering how God got them out of prison. Because watch. It says that when the officer came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told him. And it says, saying the prison, truly, we shut all the doors safely, but the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. How did they sneak out of there? How in the world did they sneak out of there? So instead of wondering how God got them out of prison without anyone knowing, they're worried about was that now everyone is going to believe what the disciples were saying, and that this is going to be all over town. You know what they were doing? They were kicking against the pricks. God was giving the Jewish leaders evidence of his power, and they refused to see it. Somehow they blinded their eyes to the obvious and concentrated on pressing their own agenda. Remember, Paul had done the same things. Remember, Paul was a student of Gamaliel, Acts 22:3. And it's possible that Paul was there during this council in verse 34. In that council that met there in verse 34. There stood up one in the council, watch. There then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel. That was the teacher for Paul. And it's not that much time till we're going to have Paul, you know, as a part of the story. He's already a grown man. You don't know. He might have been there at this particular time and heard Gamaliel say, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourself what ye intend to do is touching these men. And it goes over here, it talks about a couple other guys that were no big thing. Verse 39, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Paul, the Bible says that Jesus came to Paul and said, why kickest thou against the pricks? In other words, I've been working on your heart, but you refused to see it. When Paul was converted, that's what happened. And he had been fighting the moving of the Holy Spirit on his heart. And he had denied and fought against it. And God's guiding. And instead of yielding to the loving prodding of the master, he bowed up his back against the pricks. And of course, the last thing that we know that he, one of the last things he saw was Stephen being martyred. And standing there and saying, I'm seeing the Son of God, the right hand of the Father. And apparently Stephen had the face, you know, just the face of an angel. And gave up his life in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul saw that. Because Paul was holding the coats of the one stoning Stephen. Number nine. They're arrested the third time. Here we go again. So they had put him in jail and let out. Verse 26. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. Now it doesn't say they were put in prison. They were beaten before they let go. But they were arrested. Arrested a third time. What was happening? The good was the increased impact these events must have had on the religious rulers. Again, even Gamaliel was wondering if maybe God had his hand on them. And number two, the religious rulers were now fearing the people. Listen, don't worry about the rulers. Don't worry about the threats. Just do right no matter what the outcome. We cannot allow ourselves to get impressed with all the ecumenical crowd and people wants us to be quiet. The general public wants real, and they can see the difference. We need to do what's right. Listen, I'm not against, and I'm not saying we're the only one that's right and so forth. I'm not. But there are people, even religious people, who want us to shut up about Jesus. There are other denominations who took all the songs of the blood out of their hymn book. They don't want to talk about that Jesus died before our sins. And they don't want to stand up and say, well, this is right and this is wrong according to the Word of God. They want to stand up and say, well, we're a welcoming and affirming church. You know what they're saying? They welcome sin and they reaffirm sin. That's what they're saying. I'm not trying to be mean, but that's what they're saying. That's part of the problem with our nation. We've welcomed sin and the hedonistic society and actions, and we are constantly trying to confirm it. We're so busy not wanting to offend anybody that we are offending God. Number 10, more threats. More threats. Verse 27, 28. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you? It basically means, didn't we command? We really commanded you that you should not teach in this name. And behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So here comes the threats again. It often has nothing to do with right or wrong, but just who gets to be the boss. The rulers assume, letter B, that what the disciples were teaching was their own doctrine. He said, did we not straightly command you you should not teach in this name? Behold, ye filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Why do they assume that they're using their own doctrine? Because that's what they've been doing for a long time. They've been giving their own doctrine. And they don't know where you get real doctrine. So they just figured, my doctrine is as good as anybody else's doctrine, so we want to stop your doctrine so you don't mess up our doctrine. Letter C. People often accuse others of doing the very same thing they're doing themselves. Again, we're seeing it all over the place these days in our country, in our nation. The rulers wanted their doctrine preached because then they would be in charge. Because you intend to bring this man's blood upon us, but we're innocent. You're the ones caused the insurrection. We didn't try to overtake the government. You did. Sorry. That's free. They're trying to shift the blame and make the disciples look like the bad guys. Who forced the execution of Christ politically? They had. The religious people. And there's no repentance going on here. And the religious rulers want to imply the disciples were making this story up to make them look bad. Actually, the religious rulers had made up the stories to make the disciples look bad. Number 11, real quick. Starting to kind of summarize here. Number 29, do right no matter who says otherwise. Do right no matter who says otherwise. Letter A, don't compromise. Now, when I say don't compromise, I'm not saying get a hard head and a stiff neck and you say, well, I've decided this and this is what we're going to do. No. Truth is truth. Stand where truth is. Don't give up on truth, the Word of God. Not your truth, God's truth. Letter B, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Letter C, don't be defensive. When someone comes at you, a lot of times we get scared, and the first thing we do is we get defensive. And when we get defensive, we kind of go into survival mode. And before long, our baser instincts come out and we start fighting in the flesh. Don't get defensive. If you're standing on truth, stay there. I tell our staff, I said, you've got the authority. We've given you authority. Don't get defensive. You don't have to yell with the kids. You don't have to argue with them. You've got the power. Letter D, don't be offensive. Don't be offensive. First of all, let's not attack somebody, but let's not be unkind and inconsiderate. Letter E, just be like Jesus. I'm going to do this real quick. Number 12, just keep giving the truth, but do so in love. Keep giving out the truth. They thought they had gotten rid of Jesus, but now he's exalted as a prince and a savior. Letter B, why do we give out the truth? To give repentance. He says in verse 30, 31, then God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God also exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sin. Why did God do all he did? To give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. All this was done to help Israel come to a change of mind as to their sins, so they could come to forgiveness of sins. And many were saved. Number 13. Our job is not to do the convincing, but to be the witness of the truth. The witness of the truth. That's our job. Are these on your paper? Oh, they're not on your paper. Oh, that's why I got a line there. Guess I was supposed to stop. Well, I think I got out of order here on that, because I think we did some of this last time, didn't we? Do you remember some of this? No? I think I got confused. Well, anyway, that was good stuff anyway. Apparently, if I did, we needed to hear it. All right, I'll start from there. I'll start from there and go on the next. Here we go. That's right. I'll start from there and go on the next one next time, moving into the next chapter. But we'll have to stop here. Godly defiance. Sometimes we have to do what we have to do. But we don't have to be ungodly about it.